Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, we just give you glory and honor. And Father God, we do pray for our state. We pray for Governor Patterson. We pray for our assemblymen. We pray for our Senate right now, Father God. And we do pray that you would send the right laborers across the path of each and every one of them to preach the gospel, to share the good news to them. Father God, we're asking the right laborers that are best apt to get through to each one of them as individuals to share the gospel with them. We pray for those that are believers in our state government, Father God, such as Jim Tedesco and George Amador, and I believe also Hugh Farley and others, Father God. We pray that you'd strengthen them. We pray you'd give them a boldness. We pray you'd give them a courage. And Father, for Joe Bruno, we ask that if he's not saved, you send a laborer. And we thank you for his stance. We thank you for his strength. And Father God, we just believe you. And we have declared before, and we're declaring again, that same-sex marriage will not be legalized in New York State. We are standing in the gap. We are praying. We're making up the head. And we thank you, Father God, for your divine intervention, as not only do we pray, but we act and we let our voice be known. We believe you for it, Father God, and thank you by faith in the name of Jesus. We pray you'd stir up other believers and other pastors to not be apathetic about these things. But Father God, we thank you that the church is an army and they'll rise up with love and tell the truth and speak the truth, Father. We thank you for greater days. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Would you open your Bibles with me to the book of Galatians chapter 5? If you have a Bible, if you'd open up to the book of Galatians chapter 5. I don't have a set of notes for you today because I knew we had a lot to do, and my one thing that I have learned, as some of you are aware of, is that when we have Communion Sunday and when we have other things to do, a great deal of things to do, it's not wise to give you a set of notes because the chances are I'm not going to get through those notes. And so I'm going to share with you, this is a part of the series that I've already begun with you since almost the beginning of the year, Managing Life God's Way. If you want to write down anything pertaining to notes, you can title it as Managing Life God's Way, Part 14. Everybody say Part 14. And lately, our subtopic has been the fruit of the Spirit. And when we talk about managing life God's way, we're talking about letting God manage our life, letting God have control of our life, letting God have His way, and we fulfilling the plan of God for our lives, letting Him be, Jesus be, the Lord of our lives. That is letting God manage our lives. Amen? And now we've talked about surrender. We've talked about prayer. We've talked about numerous things. And lately, we've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit basically has to do with the building and the propagating, the cultivating of the character of God in our lives so that we live our lives more and more the way God would have us live, and we have the character of Christ coming forth from us more and more. Would you agree with me that that's an important part of us managing life God's way and letting Him fulfill or be what we need Him to be in our lives and show forth the character of Christ in our lives is an important part of that. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now, let's just read here in Galatians chapter 5. And beginning with verse 22, Galatians 5 and verse 22 has been a text for this subtitle called The Fruit of the Spirit. It says in verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." Now, as we review just real briefly here, we've talked about the fact the fruit of the Spirit means the harvest of the Spirit. Or it also means, when we use that word fruit, it means that which comes from or is produced by the Spirit. And so we're talking about the things or the characteristics that are produced from or proceed from the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. If we're born of the Spirit, we have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. That is the third member of the Godhead. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of you and I. Amen? And we need to become more aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need to become more sensitive to the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, because most of us probably live our lives in a way that is not consciously aware of the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of us. And we need to change that. We need to be believing God that we will have have a conscious awareness of the presence of the Holy Spirit within us and dwelling in us and operating through us in order to minister to this world. Amen? Because, you know, no matter what is going on in the world, in terms of things like we've already talked about or other things as well, when we realize and really get an illumination of the fact the Holy Spirit dwells in us, that means that there's nothing that is happening out there and nothing that might be attacking us or coming against us that we are not equipped to and able to handle and come through it victoriously. Amen? Amen. And so let's get a revelation of that. Let's believe God for more insight into that. Now, as we've talked about this again, the fruit of the Spirit, the harvest of the Spirit, that which the Spirit produces in our lives in terms of character is, first of all, love. And so love, as we've shared with you, is the fruit in the singular form of the Spirit. All these other things mentioned after love are attributes of this God kind of love. This God kind of love is an unconditional love. This kind of love, this God kind of love is the kind of love that the Bible says that God is. It is the essence of His character and the essence of His nature. And we know from Romans chapter 5 and verse 5 that the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so we have the capability, we have the enabling of the Spirit of God to love the way God loves. Jesus said in John chapter 13 and verse 34, He says this, "A new commandment I give unto you that you love one another as I have loved you." And that means in the same way that I have loved you, He has commanded us to love one another. You remember that during the Wesley Revival in England, there was a heading, I shared this with you a long time ago, there was a heading in the secular newspaper that said this after they had witnessed some of the things happening in that revival. It said this on that heading, "Oh, how the church or how the believers love one another." A secular newspaper was astounded and impacted by the fact that as they witnessed the revival, the things that were happening in the Wesley meetings, they were amazed at how the people of God loved one another. And you know, Jesus said this also in John chapter 17. He said, by this love, shall all men know that I have been sent by the Father. Amen? And so this love is the primary thing. The primary way the world knows that Jesus is alive through us is by experiencing that love of Jesus flowing out of us. And that is in essence what the fruit of the Spirit is. That is the primary thing the Spirit of God produces in our lives. But like any crop, every crop has to be cultivated. Every crop has to be nurtured. Every crop has to be watered. Is that not right? And so if we're going to have the crop of love produced and coming out of us, we've got to water it, we've got to nurture it, we've got to perhaps fertilize it with more of the Word of God, amen? And by the words of our mouth coming out, we need to be affirming and acknowledging that God has placed that love in us. Amen. Is everybody doing all right today? Amen. Amen. The Bible says, don't be moved by their faces. I am trying my hardest. Hallelujah. To not be moved by your faces. Praise God. Now, in all of this, you'll notice that in Galatians chapter 5, it says this. Last week, we talked about the second, or really, we could say it this way, the first attribute of love. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love. The next thing mentioned is joy. We talked about the joy of the Lord. I think that perhaps you all need another dose of this watering and feeding of the joy of the Lord this morning. It is in you. Say, I've got joy. Now, you may say, I don't feel like I got joy, but you know, again, what does feeling like it have anything to do with it? Amen? The Bible says that the kingdom of God does not abide in food and drink, but it abides in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So if you've got the Holy Ghost, you've got joy. You may need to stir that joy up. You may need to remind your face you have joy, but the Bible says if you've got the Holy Ghost, you've got the joy of the Lord. Amen? Amen. And that just has a lot to do with whether or not we're going to go over or not. Joy, amongst other things, is a weapon against the enemy. Joy, He said, count it all joy. When you fall into temptation, He said, count it all joy. When you fall into test, He talks about rejoicing, though you're overcome with manifold temptations. You know what? Joy is a weapon against the enemy, amongst other things. And so that is sometimes the first thing that goes when we're attacked, but yet it needs to be one of the main things we do when attacks come is rejoice in God. Amen? Amen. All right. Now, we talked a number of things about that. This morning, I want to talk about that other attribute that comes after joy, and that is this attribute of peace. Everybody say peace. We live in a world of turmoil, as we've already stated. All of us are very well aware of that. We're going to talk about peace this morning because peace, again, is an attribute of love. As we walk in love, and to the degree that we walk in love is the degree we're going to walk in peace. And I'm going to talk about three kinds of peace in a few minutes that the Bible deals with. There are three kinds of peace. And let me just say this to you. You know, as we talk about the same-sex marriage issue and the world the way it is, it could be real tempting for us to get out of peace and to get anxious and to get nervous and to worry about the future. But let me submit to you this, that we need to be aware of what is happening and not allow what is happening to get in us to the degree that we're worried about the future or that we're not at peace, because God says, be anxious for nothing. Don't have anxiety about anything. He says instead, and we'll get to it, pray. He said, seek God, amen? And don't allow that to get on you, amen? Because if we allow that to get on us, then we're defeated as well. We've got to hold on to peace and hold on to joy in spite of what's going on in the world around us. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, let me just, I want you to fill in the blanks. I'm going to mention a couple of things, a few expressions of our day. Is everybody with me today? Everybody alive and well? Yeah, yesterday, a lot of our folks that are probably not here, some of them, we went to the Great Escape for Glory Day. And it was a glorious day, better than today. Amen. Thank God it wasn't like today, yesterday. Amen. And I would like to tell you and announce to you, this is a side note that's going to go on the CD for Managing Life God's Way Part 14, but that's all right. I want to announce to you that Joshua Hughes is the winner of the Faster Pastor Race. Amen. Amen. So, you know, he's going to be writing 50 pages of, I will honor my pastor and let him win next year. Amen. He smoked me. Hallelujah. I can't think of anybody I'd rather have win. Hallelujah. It was great. And besides, I didn't want to wear that Batman cape all day like they required him to do. We live in an uptight world, don't we? Common expressions of our day. You fill in the blank. Quote, I am ready to throw in the... Quote, I am at the end of my... I am a bundle of... My life is falling... You're pretty good at this. You understand this, don't you? You've lived in this world, apparently. I am at my wits. I feel like resigning from the human race. Man, you folks, you know what you're talking about. Well, you know, every day millions of aspirin are consumed because of the stress in this world. You know, tranquilizer prescriptions are at an all-time high. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And you know, more books are probably read about peace of mind than any other books. As they come out, they become bestsellers on the New York Times best-selling list. But you know what? We as believers, we've got a better remedy than aspirin, tranquilizers, or bestsellers. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We've got the bestseller. Isn't that right? Amen. And so we're going to talk a little bit about this in detail. Now, look with me, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. We're going to look at it on the big screen from another translation in a minute, but I want you to look there first. Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs 14. And verse 30 reads this way. I'm reading from the New King James. It says this, a sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. Look it up on the big screen and see how the New Living Translation puts this. It puts it this way, a peaceful heart. Everybody say a peaceful heart. How many of you would agree that a peaceful heart is a sound heart? You know, we talk about sound in body, sound in mind. That means a peaceful mind, wouldn't we say? A peaceful heart, notice, leads to a healthy body. Jealousy is like cancer in the bones. Now, that first part, a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Would you agree with me? We all know stress is unhealthy. Stress is unhealthy. Anxiety is unhealthy. Anything that could be termed as the opposite of peace is definitely unhealthy to your human body. Is that not right? The Bible says there that a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Some people say, well, why? You know, we're redeemed from sickness. We're redeemed from disease. Why am I experiencing sickness? Why am I sick? Why do I have this disease or whatever? It could be, not necessarily, but maybe, just maybe, you are not experiencing a peaceful heart. And that stress and anxiety is wearing down your body. claim that scripture. A peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Begin to say, Father, I thank you by faith. I have a peaceful heart. And after today's message, you'll have other things to claim from the Word of God because peace belongs to you. Amen. Say, peace belongs to me. Amen. Some definitions of peace. Look up at the big screen, and here we have them. The Greek word is Irene. Might not pronounce it right. That doesn't matter. Which literally pictures the binding or joining together again of that which had been separated or divided, and thus setting at one again. And so to have peace means to be setting at one again, a meaning conveyed by the common expression of one having it all together. And so, you know, we say to each other, well, or we may talk about somebody and say, man, he just seems to have it all together. Well, one of the characteristics that we recognize when they have it all together is they seem to have a lot of peace. Amen. All right, the basic definition is meaning to set at one, to bind together. All right, now, going on to the next definition. The Greek word is the root for the English words serene and serenity. How many of you love serenity? Serene and serenity. And so this word peace in the Bible, the most common Greek word for peace here in Galatians 5 and verse 22, is this word Irene, which comes from the word where our words serene and serenity come from. It goes on and says, which means clear and free of storms or unpleasant change, stressing and unclouded and lofty tranquility. Man, that sounds great. Number three, peace is a state of untroubled, undisturbed well-being. Four, a state of harmony and tranquility. And so the idea of harmony, bringing it together, all right? The idea of being set as one and harmony. I think you can see how that goes together. If somebody sings a song in melody and someone tries to sing harmony and it doesn't harmonize, how many of you know they have not come as one? Isn't that right? And so therefore, there's no harmony, there is no peace in that music. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so the idea of setting at one in harmony and tranquility, number five, it means the absence of hostility, the absence of mental stress or anxiety. The absence of mental stress or anxiety. Say, peace belongs to me. All right, now going on with some of these things. Jesus came to bring us peace. Look at the next frame. Jesus came to bring us peace. You might want to write that phrase down, and we'll see some things pertaining to it. Up on the big screen, we've got a scripture you're going to want to look at from the New Living Translation. First of all, the prophets foretold it. We'll go to this. The prophets foretold this peace. For unto us a child is born. Sounds familiar. It's not Christmas time, but how many of you know the scripture is always good? We don't have to just read this at Christmas time. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called what? Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus came to bring us peace. So if we have Jesus, we should have peace. All right? In addition to that, we know the heavenly host at the birth of Jesus also proclaimed it. Next frame is this. It's a long one, Luke 2:10 through 14. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. See, the gospel is good news, right? Yeah. Glad tidings. It's to bring joy. Every time we hear the word, we ought to have joy. Even if we're being rebuked from the word, it ought to produce joy in us because our Heavenly Father loves us so much to tell us the truth and correct us when we're wrong. Amen? For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Everybody say peace. Goodwill toward men. Jesus came to bring us peace. Came to bring us peace. It's proclaimed by Jesus himself. The next frame, I got ahead of myself earlier. Peace was proclaimed by Jesus. Look at this, John 14, verse 27. And again, this is the New Living Translation. Notice what it says. It's Jesus speaking. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind. That's worth writing down. Peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Notice some points that we see from this. Number one, Jesus says his peace is a gift. Brother Ted talked about the gift of salvation only needs to be received. Amen? Well, peace is a gift. He said, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. He leaves us with a gift. So all we have to do then is receive it. And notice the other thing. It says this. The world cannot give this kind of peace. And so from this verse alone, we see at least 2 points. Number one, that peace is a gift from Jesus. And secondly, the world can't give the kind of peace that Jesus gives, right? All right? And so, you know, the world's peace, we understand, is very fragile. All right? It's a counterfeit kind of peace in so many ways. It's temporary always. In fact, someone put this together, and I don't know the reference, but someone figured out that in the past 3,500 years, the world has had just 286 years of peace. So out of the last 3,500 years, the world has had just 286 years of peace. In other words, most of the time, we're talking about, you know, peace in pertaining to wars as opposed to wars and what have you. Most of the time, the world is not at peace. For a variety of reasons. Some reasons are good, some reasons are not good. Some reasons are to fight for freedom, some reasons are to take other people's freedoms. Right? In many different ways, shapes, and forms. All right? Now, going on with this a little bit more. His apostles, Jesus' apostles, it was proclaimed not only by Jesus, but also his apostles proclaimed peace. You'll notice Acts 10, 34 through 36, it reads this way. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace, through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all." And so that's part of the gospel message then. Peace of mind and heart is part of the message of the gospel, isn't it? Is everybody doing all right? And so if we have received the gospel, then we also should be receiving peace in our lives. We should not have anxiety. We should not have worry. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, he said, "Take thought for nothing. Don't take thought for anything. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself." You remember that, don't you? Take no thought means do not worry. And yet, oftentimes, we get attacked with worry. And I'm not trying to condemn anybody. We all get attacked with worry, fear, anxiety, and whatever, and different levels and whatever. But the truth of the matter is, when we know that part of the gospel is that Jesus gave us the gift of peace, we can fight it. We don't have to lay down and accept it as part of the human race's lot in life.
Amen. Thank God.
Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, going on with this. Are you getting something from this? All right, the next frame. Jesus provides three kinds of peace. Now, this morning, we're going to be able to talk about maybe two of them. And then next week, God willing, we'll talk about the third one. But the first kind of peace, we'll look at, first of all, what are the three kinds? Spiritual peace, number one. Number two is emotional peace. And number three is relational peace. Now, we're going to deal with each one of these at least to a certain extent. Now, I'm sure that all of them could be a series in and of themselves. But we're going to talk about spiritual peace, emotional peace, and relational peace. Jesus gave us and provided for us all of those, all three of those kinds of peace. Would you agree with me that those are essential for life? Something that every human being wants. Amen? Every human being wants all of those kinds of peace. Now, let's look at the first one. Spiritual peace. This is the foundational kind of peace, and every other real kind of peace is going to extend from and come out of this spiritual peace. Go with me, if you will, if you don't mind, to Romans chapter 5. In fact, this may be as far as we get today. Romans, the 5th chapter. Scripture that I'm sure many of you might be able to speak or quote or what have you, but praise God, let's just look at it here. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 reads this way. I'm reading from the New King James, then we're going to look at it from the Amplified Bible in a couple of minutes. But New King James says it this way. Therefore, having been, everybody say that's past tense, already done, right? He says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody say peace with God. And so another way of saying spiritual peace is one of the kinds of peace that is available to us through Jesus Christ. That kind of peace, spiritual peace, is peace with God. Say peace with God. All right, now it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at the big screen and let's see how it's said in the Amplified Bible. It says, therefore, since we are justified, acquitted, declared righteous, and given a right standing with God through faith, let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation to hold and to enjoy, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Now notice now, of course, justified. Justification is the thing that has brought us peace with God. Notice how justification is defined. It means to be acquitted. Many of us are aware of this. Acquitted in the court of law means to be declared innocent. Say, I'm innocent. How do you know you're innocent? Do you feel innocent? Do you go by your feelings, whether you feel innocent or not? No. How do you know you're innocent? Because the Word says, Jesus, who knew no sin, was made to be sin for you, that you might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, amen? Yeah. All right, and so we have been acquitted. Say, I'm acquitted. I've been declared innocent by Almighty God. The judge has said, I am innocent. Now, you know what? That ought to produce peace. That ought to cause you to not only have spiritual peace with God, but it ought to include and give to you a peace of mind, knowing that the judge of all eternity, the judge of heaven, has already declared you and I innocent because he put our guilt on Christ, didn't he? Amen. A lot of people, in fact, it's been proven, a lot of people have stress in life. A lot of people have worry. A lot of people have fear in life because they feel guilty about something. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They have this guilt that eats away at them that they aren't able to shake for anything. And so what do we have? We have people going to yoga to try to get rid of guilt. We have people trying to do a variety of things in order to try to alleviate this sense of guilt. In fact, we have people trying to pass laws so that their sin that makes them feel guilty will be legitimized so that they maybe won't feel guilty anymore. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so they try to go in a variety of ways in order to alleviate the guilt when there's really only one way to get rid of that sense of guilt. The only way there is by giving your life to Christ and letting Him cause His blood to wash it away, and you'll be free. Amen? Amen. And so, in this, notice, declared righteous and given a right standing with God. Say, I'm in right standing with Almighty God. Amen. We need to understand that that is a legal right that you and I have. We are in right standing with God, not because of works which we've done, not because we've earned it in any way, because you can't earn it. It's because we put faith in the grace of Almighty God, Brother Ted, and therefore we've received the gift of righteousness, amen, or the gift of innocence before our God. That's a gift as well, isn't it? Amen? And so again, that alone has brought us peace. Peace with God. Peace for life. Peace in our relationship with God. Now think about that definition of peace, is to set at one or to have harmony. And so when we accept Christ, then we are set at one with God. There is no more division between us and God. We are now in harmony with God Almighty. Amen? And praise God, that sets us free. Hallelujah. It all begins with this peace with God obtained by faith and being therefore justified. Look at the next frame, and I'm going to wind this down. It says this passage of Scripture is Romans chapter 3 and verse 24 begins with, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. This is from the New Living as well. It says, we all have sinned. Anybody here not sinned before? If you raise your hand, you just sinned your life. All right. For everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard, yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when He freed us from the penalty for our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed His life, shedding His blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when He held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. Next frame. For He was looking ahead and including them in what He would do in this present time. That's the people of the old covenant. God did this to demonstrate His righteousness, for He Himself is fair and just, and He declares sinners to be right in His sight when they believe in Jesus. Isn't that good news? I pray the Word of God alone. No, you know, really, I could just have you look at these Scriptures with me today. And have those scriptures just work in your heart and work in your life without any exposition whatsoever, without me expounding on them at all. The power of the Word of God is enough to set you free from anxiety of every kind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's also this issue of reconciliation. Aren't you glad you've been reconciled? Justified, reconciled in God's sight. Praise God. Now, I want you to look at one other scripture, and this is going to be the introduction to next week, and then we're going to close. Philippians chapter 4. Familiar to many of us, I preached on this verse of scripture so many times, I don't even know. But it's a scripture that's ministered to me many, many times and should every time for a believer that's hungry for the Word. Amen? Paul says by the Holy Spirit, verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Now, the word but there could have been translated contrarywise. In other words, on the contrary. He says, be anxious for nothing, but on the contrary, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God. Say, peace of God. Now, you know what? There is one thing called the peace with God that we acquire by faith. Amen. That gift of peace that we acquire because we've been reconciled to God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And after having had and received peace with God, aren't you glad that there is available to us the peace of God? And we call that, could call that emotional peace. Amen. Emotional peace could be what that is called. And so we understand that and we're going to deal with that more. But notice again, it says, contrarywise in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God. Say this with me, prayer first, then peace. The peace of God, emotional peace. Hey, that'll help your peace of mind when you have a habit of prayer. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Next week, God willing, we're going to talk about the issue of fear, anxiety, and worry. We're going to talk about how to be free in a greater way from the things that attack your mind in the area of stress. You know, this idea of prayer first and then peace. You know, even people of professional backgrounds, psychologists, they'll tell you that it does a person good to alleviate stress if they have someone to talk to. They have someone to talk to. Talking to somebody helps alleviate stress, helps to alleviate anxiety. Well, who better to talk to than the living God? The Bible always said pray and then the peace of God, right? So the Bible's ahead of science once again. Is ahead of man's human experience once again. Because talking to God will help you be free. Amen? Amen. And we'll continue on this next time. If you stand with me and if the worship team would come, praise God. We had a lot to do today. We got a lot accomplished. I don't think anybody can leave here today not saying and not having said honestly, you know what, I've been fed the Word today. Amen? Whether it be by Brother Ted, whether it be the offering, sharing Luke 6:38, whether it be sharing these things about peace, I believe we've been fed today. I believe we've been built up. I believe we've been strengthened. Amen? Can you say amen? Just a little bit more enthusiasm. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We give You all the glory and all the praise. We thank You for that peace that passes all understanding, Father God. Father God, we rejoice in You today. And Father, we're so grateful that Jesus has provided us peace. It's a gift from Him. He said, I give you My peace as a gift. And Father God, I pray for every single person right now, Father God, those that might be here today that they've never received that first kind of peace, that spiritual peace, peace with You through faith in Jesus Christ. I pray that they'd see their need like they've never seen that need before. Father God, we thank You. And those of us that may be getting attacked with anxiety or fear or worry, Father God, we thank You for opening our eyes to a greater revelation of the fact that You desire for us to have peace of mind. Emotional peace is ours, and we claim it by faith, Father, in the name of Jesus.